It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com. and the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
The police!
When Ham the Astro Shrimp said, no more space flights! Who did great minds at NASA turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only... He's the poster child for no cloning. Paul LaVoy!
All right, it's Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022, first Wednesday of the month. You know what that means. That guy sitting right across the table from me is here. My co-host, Dan De Los Santos. You're actually the host of the Havasu Pioneers radio show. I'm the host of Speak Out, but you don't have a space monkey that can do your job. So, are you there? Oh, you're taking the wrong one. There you go. Go ahead.
You're right. I need the guy that actually pushes the volume up so I can talk.
You took the headset that goes over here, even though you're sitting over there. All right. So, anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. We've got a very special show today. And I don't know, what do you want to go with first, Dan?
Well, you know, we have a really great guest speaker with us today, Tom Allais, previous police sergeant with the Lake Havasu City Police Department back in the 70s and early 80s. And I got to tell you, I've been trying to get somebody from the police department on our show for the last 3 years. So Tom's doing us a big favor by being here today. But we had the pleasure, Paul and I, to be at the Procrastinators get-together at the Lake Havasu City Museum of History here just within the last week. And we met some of the procrastinators, along with some contributors that rebuilt, one of the original mail delivery trucks. So Paul was able to get a couple of interviews. Paul, why don't we start off with that?
Right. And the procrastinator, in fact, Jillian said this is kind of who the event was named for, 50-year-old resident Jay Gilbertson.
That's right.
1979, class of 1979 from Lake Havasu High School. And then we talked to Merlin and Rich. Merlin now owns the 1965 Cushman that was used for postal deliveries back in the day. And then we talked to Jillian Usher, the executive director.
Right, yeah. And so for those of you who remember Rich Klein, he was actually a musician here. He's been a mechanic. He's a big part of our community. And, of course, the Cushman cart somehow made it all the way to the finish line at the museum.
And for those of you wondering, I would give you a little mental picture of that Cushman cart. It was in the London Bridge Days Parade.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
For those of you who saw the little three-wheeler in there, that is literally how we got the mail delivered to all our postal stations out and around the town.
Right, right, right. All right, let's go to the interview. It's all three in a row. There's really no narration here. It's just the interviews, and about 8 minutes long. We'll start with 50-year resident Jay Gilbertson.
So you've been here 50 years in Lake Havasu City, and you're known now as the person that this event, the Procrastinators Day, was pretty much named for. You're one of those people. What brought you to the museum tonight?
Well, I'd never been here. I'd always wanted to come and see it. And Danny, he's always talking about it. So we went out to dinner tonight and decided to come by and check it out.
What's impressed you the most about the museum?
Just the history of it. It's fun to see stuff that you experienced. And the Big and Crooked. The Big and Crooked.
The boat?
Did many parties on that one.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
When did you actually move to Havasu?
71.
70, as a kid?
Yeah.
How old were you?
10 years old.
10 years old. So what year did you graduate from Lake Havasu High?
79.
What, did you play football? Did you what did you do?
Oh, yeah, I did all the sports.
All the sports?
Yeah, rode motorcycles and race bikes and all that. Hell, that's the way we got around town.
Have you ever considered yourself a pioneer?
And not until I started that pioneer club, and, you know, you just live in life until then.
Right.
You know? Then you get old enough to start reminiscing and start thinking about it.
What do you see for Havasu in the next 50 years?
It'll never be what it was. It was such a fun place to grow up. Everybody knew everybody. If you got pulled over by the cops, you just hope they didn't tell your parents. You know, I mean, it was Mayberry in the Arizona desert.
So I'm here with Merlin and Rich, and Merlin is now the owner, and I believe he restored the Cushman that is at the Lake Havasu Museum of History. And did you donate this back to the museum? How did that work?
So basically, I came across this thing, horse trading cars, and I did a preservation on it and cleaned it up and made it look nice for the museum. But Rich here, he actually owned it a lot longer than I did. I'll let him tell his story. But I got hearing a bunch of rumors that it was quite possibly used in Lake Havasu, and after doing a little bit of research and finding out that it's been here for almost 30 years. I did find out, we looked through some pictures and confirmed that it was sitting behind the post office in like 1966 in Lake Havasu. So at that point, I decided the right thing to do was clean it up and paint it and make it look nice and donate it to the museum. So I headed off in that direction without talking to the museum. But once I came down to the museum and I actually discussed it with Jillian, the director here, she was ecstatic to receive the thing. So the right thing to do was donate it to the museum so everybody could see it.
So, Rich, tell me what year, how did it get in your garage, and then how did this go to Merlin?
Well, I found it. A guy was selling it about 9 years ago on Desert Hill, so I picked it up and went through it. At that time, I went through the engine and the gearbox and the rear end and stuff on it, and got it all going and stuff, and started sanding it down. Then I had to move to a smaller house and have room to work on it, so I just sat in my backyard for about 9 years. And now I'm in the process of moving out of town, so about a year ago I went ahead and sold that, a truck that I had, to a friend of mine, which Merlin knows, and then Merlin ended up dealing off of that then. So
you started restoring it, though?
Yeah.
How hard were the parts to find for, it's a 65?
Yeah, that wasn't too hard, because the transmission is basically T9, you know, 3-speed transmission, which is common, so I was able to find gears for that. The engine is an own generator engine, so that was easy to find parts for, and the rear end's actually a Dana rear end that's in it, so all the engine parts and everything else is all common stuff you can find from older cars and that. So, and I just, like I said, I tore it down, I pulled the frame off, and the subframe, dropped it off, and like I said, went through the engine and everything else, cleaned it up, painted it, and resealed the engine, and had it running for a little bit, and then, like I said, between moving around and things, I just kind of got put on the back burner.
Merlin, have you ran this Cushman? Have you started it, run it, gotten the top speed on it, that sort of thing?
So I have. I actually do a little YouTube channel, and I put this thing on my YouTube channel long before I knew it had anything to do with Havasu. And I got it running. It didn't take much because Rich did most of the work on that. And with no brakes, using the parking brake, me and my wife drove it around the neighborhood, pretending to deliver mail. It runs better off-road than it does on-road, believe it or not.
No kidding.
So, yeah, it's one of those vehicles. So, I don't know, maybe that's why they used it here and did what they did, because all the dirt roads in 1965 and 66.
Top speed?
45 miles an hour.
Interesting. And what value would you place on that, restored the way it is?
If you look around on the Internet, you'll see them at auctions for between $8,000 and $10,000. So, yeah, it's up there. Being a Lake Havasu piece of history, it's invaluable. So it's at home right where it belongs here in the museum, and I'm glad to see it go here.
Procrastinator's Day. You were talking about doing another one. Is it everything you thought it would be? Did it bring out a lot of people more so than usual?
Yeah, you know, considering how busy the town is this time of year and everything going on today in particular, I'm so happy with all the people that came out here. And I'm really glad because I didn't know many people. And to me, that's really important because the idea of Procrastinator's Day is to get the people who I meet in town or we, you know, you meet in here. Oh, I didn't even know we had a museum. Those are my favorite.
So I was talking to Jay about 50 years he's been here, 50 years plus. It's his first time at the museum. He's really pleased with what he's seeing. He's connecting with a lot of memories and that. But I was asking him about the next 50 years. And you possibly may be here in that next 50 years, I would imagine. I mean, you know, barring any tragedy or something like that. What do you see for the museum and the city and the image for the city in the next 50 years?
Of course. So I think just from our exhibition's point of view, we've done a great job up to the London Bridge. There's so much less of the history that we need to talk about. And so what I'm excited about is, you know, the people who donated the artifacts then were the people who their parents lived it. So now my generation, our parents lived the 90s. And so we're the ones holding on to this cool stuff because for us it's nostalgia. And so those are the people who will help contribute to extending that history. As far as the museum as an institution, I'm really pushing the idea that we are not an attraction, we are an asset. My goal is to, of course, make the collections digitized, fully preserved, and get more education in here. I want people to look at us as a resource for historical information and also a way that their children can learn life skills and workforce development skills in a museum setting. Right now we're working on a young curators program and to kind of give kids an idea of, you know, why history is important to preserve, but also why a museum exists and what it means in a community. I think from a rural standpoint, too, we have a responsibility to not only preserve this small history because we're the only ones in the world who have these artifacts. They are important to the people within the city. But I also think it's a responsibility to collaborate with the city more and work with them that we can take this history and expand it for the future and really showcase from an economic standpoint to where we came from, where we're going, why we're going there, and celebrate the accomplishments of the city as we expand further.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations on a great event.
Oh, thank you, Paul, and thank you for coming tonight. And we will have another one because we know you guys missed this one, you procrastinators. So we'll see you then.
All right. What a fun event.
That was a lot of fun.
There you go.
Am I here?
Yeah, you just, you're never sure? Mind. Yeah, you grabbed the wrong headset.
Okay. Well, I'd be glad to switch headsets with you. Okay.
We're good.
All right. So, it was a really, a great evening. A lot of fun, a few adult beverages, and a lot of old friends showing up. People who'd never seen the museum before were fascinated. And I got to tell you, they brought out photos that people had never seen before, no matter if you'd been to the museum or not. So there was a lot of new artifacts, and they're actually looking for your input to recognize some of the people that are in those photos.
I'll tell you what. Tom, have you been there?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man, you've got to procrastinate. My favorite photo in that entire, not the new ones, or just in the whole museum that I saw, was posted on the door. There's a back, like a door where you go towards the restrooms, and there's a wall of news clippings. There's a news clipping there with former President Eisenhower standing with Robert P. McCulloch.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. When they were building the golf course, right? And and it was 63.
I don't know if, no, it was not 63.
No? Oh, 73 then.
Gary, yes.
It was a 3. I know
I guarantee you that we didn't have any graded roads here in 63.
But anyway, so, I had no idea that former President Eisenhower had visited Lake Havasu City. It just blew me away.
Yeah. So we have our guest speaker today. We have Tom Lay, who actually has not only a history in the police department, but actually all the way back to 1974 March, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
It was September of 1974.
And so with our sheriff's department. Now, for all our earlier pioneers, I got to tell you, there isn't much we don't remember about the life style, if you will, of living here locally in Lake Havasu City with 2,000 residents or less. And so, Tom, tell me, how'd you get here?
Well, my father came here. He came here from a convention in Las Vegas in the 60s, and his friends had a four-wheel drive vehicle. They brought him down to show him a lake that they thought he'd like. And that he saw Lake Havasu City. He fell in love with it. Came home and told my mother. Well, she had six kids. She was crying, carrying on.
We've heard this story before.
Which was unusual. He finally eventually relented with the closing statement was, the day that youngest boy graduates high school, we're going to Arizona. And my mother cried again.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Now, where were you living?
Yeah,
I was in the Siberia of the Northeast, Syracuse, New York.
Oh, my gosh.
Lake effect snow.
Oh, my gosh. So what an amazing transition to go from the pinnacles of ice to the to the tops of the sand to the desert. So here you are in Lake Havasu City. You show up. And you mentioned you started the force in 74. So you're managing a community of people that came from all walks of life.
Yeah.
Nobody was quite from here just yet, a handful, but they weren't even old enough to walk yet, really.
Yeah.
And so you had people from back east. You had people from the West Coast. What was it like? I mean, what were some of the challenges that you ran across?
Well, some of the challenges came, especially the four big holidays. Even with what little extra help we could get from other districts of Mojave County, that was it. And so a lot of times we had to overlook things we would have arrested people for without blinking our eyes because we just didn't have the horsepower, the manpower to make the arrests. So we just kind of slid along and pretended we didn't see certain things.
While we really enjoyed our sheriffs because they were good people, I want to say that. And I'm looking over my shoulder to make sure there's nobody jingling,
handcuffs?
A set of handcuffs.
Yeah, yeah.
But as Tom is sharing with you, especially for some of our pioneers, it wasn't just because they were really great cops. They had no resources at the time. Sorry. There was no place for you to go. And for those of you that have seen the old jail cells, you know, that wasn't exactly the greatest resource either.
Actually, I have a little story about the cells.
Uh-huh.
One night, we were bringing a person in that was screaming, cussing, carrying it, drugged out of his mind. We finally got him into the substation, got the door open, and you had to have perfect timing that when you got those cuffs off, you threw them in towards the wall, and you had to get the door shut. And the hand lock, the outside on it before they could get out and the fight was on again.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
I remember doing that more than once.
So we're going to take a quick break, but we've got Tom Lay with us as our guest speaker, past sheriff and police officer from Lake Havasu City.
Right. And you know, Dan, we were going to spring a trivia question on our listeners.
Well, yes, we are. When do we want to spring it?
And the reason why is because we had two tickets to Aloha the Luau Experience donated to the show to give away today by Wayne Malone over at Neat Pools. And the ticket prices, folks, went from $225 for the all-inclusive tickets down to $100. So you get the Luau dinner, the Polynesian performance, the flower lei, the professional photo, and a choice of either free lei-making class and hula dancing class, that's before the event, or the after party with the luau dancers, right?
Oh, wow.
This is all at the Nautical Beachfront Resort on the terrace, Saturday, November 12th, 3 to 8 p.m. The 3 p.m. is all the stuff that you get if you choose, you know, the lei-making class and all that. So, anyway, we have a trivia question to get these tickets. First person to call in with the answer gets them.
What year was the first stoplight installed in Lake Havasu City?
And you're not going to have an easy time finding it, by the way. Not that I know of.
So
it's not like you
question.
Can Google that.
Right? Yeah, no, you're not going to be able to Google it.
Right, right. So what year was the very first stoplight? You want to know the year, the intersection, or both?
Well, I think we should have the intersection included in it.
Okay.
We're not going to worry about the month, but if they get the year and they actually get the location of the first stoplight, they're on top of it.
Absolutely. Give us a call here at the KNTR Talk Studios, 928-854-5687, 928-854-5687. 854-KNTR. And those Aloha the Luau Experience tickets are yours. We also, towards the later on in the show, we've got tickets to the UCLA at ASU game, by the way, four tickets. And Suns in Portland this Friday, we've got tickets to that game as well in Phoenix. There's a whole lot of tickets here in the studio.
Well, we got a lot going on.
We got a guy that wrote a lot of tickets,
we
too.
Did, We got a guy that wrote a lot of tickets.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Dan DeLosantos, of course, brought to you in part by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. We'll be right back. All right, we're back on Speak Out. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, hosted by Dan DeLosantos. I'm Paul Lavoie, the host of Speak Out. And, Dan, we didn't get a phone call or an answer to the trivia question.
Not yet.
Should we give them a hint?
Yeah, we'll tell them that if they're one of the members of the Havasu Pioneers Facebook page, and they go on and look up a stoplight, they should be able to find the answer there. It'll take them a few minutes.
Really?
So we've still got the tickets. We're waiting for you to call
right
in. And we have guest speaker Tom Lay on with us today. And, Tom, you got a little more to add.
Yes, I do. A little more about the cages. When I got here, that cage was not inside the building. It was outside of the building with a chaining it around the palm tree. Honest to God, that's the truth. The big event for the day was to drive by the tree and the cage and see who got arrested, banged up the night before. Well, the Holly salesman who sold the property said, that's bad for business. So their boss called the sheriff and Kingman. The sheriff and Kingman called the lieutenant here at the substation, and immediately somebody came that day. They cut it up enough to get it fitted into the building, rewelded it, and it was never seen outside the building again until it was closed.
Now that, I can tell you, very few people in our community know about that one.
Yeah.
That was definitely a Havasu Pioneers trivia that I'm going to bring up in the future. And, you know, hey, if you've ever been in that jail cell, give us a call. What's our call-in number, Paul?
928-854-5687. You really want a former jailbird to call in?
Yeah, I want a former jailbird to call in, man. I know a couple of them, actually.
That's pretty funny.
So, you know, through all the trouble. Oh, by the way, did you know that building is still with us today?
Yeah.
And I found out about it. Somebody took a picture, posted it, and I said, I have got to go tour that building. Yeah. And if that gentleman's still with us, it's used for storage, but I would very much like to go for a tour and get the museum to go with us over there and take a quick peek at that building. Because between that and the jail cell, of course, which is down by the Lake Havasu Museum of History, wow, what a piece of our history of our town. So, you know, we had a transition. We went from sheriffs to the police department.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. What was that like, and when did that happen?
Well, that happened July 1 of 70, trying to remember.
Was it incorporation?
Yeah, when was it incorporated?
64, 70, right?
78.
78.
Oh, 78.
Okay, it was July 1 of 79.
Okay.
And at midnight, I shook hands with the deputy sheriff that was on duty to transfer over, and we took the authority as such in that handshake in front of the old fire department on Lake Havasu Ave. It was called Fire Station 1 at that time. And within 3 minutes, all of a sudden, I got handed a note. It was the first call. So I drove to the call, knocked on the door. The guy opened the door and said, am I first? I thought... My first thought, I can't say what I was thinking in my mind, but it caught me off guard. I said, first what? I said, am I the first one to call in a report? I said, yes, you are. Oh, he was ecstatic. He was just over the riverbanks. He was just crazy that he was the first one. Little did I know that guy would start calling all the time.
Okay. He had a new best friend.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what he thought. And the day came when I made the decision in my mind, enough. And so I went up and I chatted for the last time with him. And I explained it to him real plain and simple at a level that he could comprehend. And he never called back again.
Oh, very good.
So,
very good.
Another problem solved, which today you'd be in big trouble.
Now, there was a little issue with transportation when you first started out.
We had so many things going on, and it was kind of messy. Well, we ordered cars not off the state bid, which were down in Phoenix, and they were real police cars. So, because we ran out of time, they went and bought just civilian Chevys at a dealership in Phoenix and drove them up, but there wasn't time to put the radio equipment in or the cages or anything else. So, they gave me one of the fire department unmarked cars, one of the fire handy talkie radios, and they had another portable radio in there, and that's how we started communicating in this city. And it wasn't always where they could get the signal, you know, because of what was going on.
Wait, what about the light on the top of the car? Did you need a red light?
Oh, we didn't have any equipment in that fire
flashlight.
No, you just were smart enough. You didn't run any cold thing. You didn't do dumb stuff.
Oh man!
Wow,
those were the early days. So you know, I want to thank you, Tom. It's just been amazing. Taking a step back in time, talking with you is really something. My hair's starting to stand up on my arm a little bit. So we're going to take a quick break.
Were you the guy he had to talk with?
Well, I'm sure on occasion, yes. Yeah. How about those Broncos?
Absolutely. All right, folks, we're still looking for an answer to the trivia question. What year and what intersection was the first Lake Havasu stoplight put in? Where was it installed and what year?
Right. And you can find the answer on the Havasu Pioneers page.
It has to be the traffic signal, not a stop sign. And the winner gets the Aloha the Luau Experience tickets. Two tickets, say $200 value. That's right, because these are all-inclusive for Saturday, November 12th at the Nautical Beachfront Resort on the Terrace. So give us a call if you know the answer. Again, go to the Havasu Pioneers Facebook page. All right, brought to you in part by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us. A little music from the 70s. That's kind of a hint, too, of when that stoplight was brought into Lake Havasu City, right?
Yeah.
I need to know what intersection, what year. And we've got a call, and I have a feeling we know this person. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi, this is Mary Della Santos. I have the answer, but it may not be appropriate for me to be the one to win the prize.
Well, no, I saw the text come through, and nobody gave you the answer. You found it for yourself.
I found it up on the Pioneers page. Butch Wood posted the newspaper article.
Okay, so where did the article say it was installed in what year?
It said March 1979, Mesquite and 95.
Mesquite and 95. Wow. Uh-huh. Wow. Dan, you've got, are you speechless today?
I'm speechless. I really am. You know, I didn't even anticipate my wonderful wife calling in and the answer, but I'm part Hawaiian and we live there and miss Hawaii. The only thing I can tell you is I can hardly wait.
And God's honest truth, Mrs. De Los Santos. I've been holding these tickets like close to the vest and like a carrot, and Dan's just kind of like, really? Really? I held off
on calling in because I wanted to give somebody else an opportunity, but I couldn't wait any longer.
Yeah, two breaks and no takers. So, congratulations. They're yours.
You guys
got married in Hawaii, didn't you?
We did.
Yes,
wow.
We did.
We actually got married in Hawaii on our family estate, which was part of a 22,000 acre, sugar plantation that our family used to own.
Right.
So yes, this is going to be kind of, and you know what? We didn't get to do a lot for, my wife's and I anniversary.
Oh.
Which is this October. So
yeah. Well, that's
here
perfect.
You go, honey. Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
That sounds, again, that's Saturday night, November 12th. Actually, it starts in the afternoon if you want to do the lay making or the hula lessons. I think there is. I don't know. It's all on the ticket. So, folks, if you want to get tickets to the Aloha, the Luau experience, it's the last time United Way is going to hold this event, by the way.
Ooh.
The very last time. Yeah, events kind of sometimes run their course.
Sure.
And Debbie told us yesterday on the show that Debbie Pennington, the CEO, that this is it. They're done. So, yeah, after this one. So enjoy, because there won't be another one for a while.
Well, that's exciting.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.
I'll hang up, Dale.
All right, thank you. All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Les Olson IT, Arizona Financial Credit Union, Mojave Community College, Herb's Herbs, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, and by the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake.
Boy, you got that all out in one big breath. That was good.
Well, not one big breath. You know me better than that. They weren't edited out either.
So we have Tom Millay with us today, and you know, Tom and I have been talking a little bit about our past history with the Sheriff's Department and the Police Department. You know, unlike a normal community that has a place for its wayward individuals, Tom, what did we have to do when somebody got arrested?
Well, before the police department started, we had to drive every prisoner all the way to the jail in Kingman. That's over 60 miles up, 60 miles back. If you were the only deputy working on duty, then it meant the city was left open during your 1 hour drive up and 1 hour drive back.
Oh my gosh. So
wow.
We get, you know, if we'd known that, we would have got a volunteer.
Yeah.
And then had a party.
That's funny. Have a party in the jail cell. That's funny.
Yeah.
But that's really a hardship. And you know, that's one thing to say that you made a trip, but day in and day out, that must have been a hardship on the officers that had to fulfill that obligation, especially at 110 degrees out on the highway.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the sheriff's office, God bless them, did the best they could, but we didn't always have, like, the highest quality of vehicles at that time either. So there'd be times that you wouldn't have air either. So 60 miles up, 60 back, and you're soaked by the time you get back.
Yeah, air conditioning in your vehicle back then, folks, was barely air conditioning.
Yeah.
You stood a better chance of wetting a towel and putting it over you with the windows down.
Right.
But now you've moved on. You're a minister, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
So tell us a little bit about what life has in store for you today.
Okay, well, I got out at 52 years old. I retired early out of law enforcement, and I spent 10 years doing not a whole lot of anything productive. I just went and did whatever I wanted to do for the day. Well, that got real old. So eventually I went back to my faith roots, and I got involved with Pastor Kay and Jerry Zimmerman.
Yay.
And they knew us from, you know, the early days of me being here. And so we started going with them, and I got involved and got well-trained, and eventually they made me an assistant pastor, and that's where I'm at right now today, still with them and an assistant pastor at City on a Hill Church.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, as a youth here in Havasu, starting out in 1971, You know, life was, of course, considerably different for us back then, innocent, if you will. Mm-hmm. We were out, when somebody said go out and play, we were on the lake or we were out in the desert, and I want to say life was reasonably innocent to a point at that time. However, life has changed for the youth in our community. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the thing that comes to mind is when I think about ministries like yours and others, and what role they must be playing with the youth of today, mm-hmm. Helping keep our community healthy, if you will.
Well, our pastor, Pastor Kay, has a huge heart for young people. She absolutely loves them. And that translates through her. When you meet her, they know she's the real deal.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'll tell you, young people today, they're so skeptical. If you're a religious type, they'll smell that out. They'll sniff that out from the get-go. And once they do, that's it. They're gone. They're smart. Because religion has never saved anybody. You know, the only thing that saves people is when they ask the Lord in their heart. That's
sure.
The only true, real religion, you know, that anybody can have is to have the Lord. You know?
Sure.
So,
right.
it gives me an opportunity. I used to battle in the physical as a policeman. Well, now I'm battling in the spiritual realms. And that's a whole different deal. And it took a while to make that transition. But so I'm still using those gifts. In fact, it's kind of amazing when I'll ask people sometimes, especially some of the newer people when they first come in, I'll ask them, how you doing? And I'll get a reply with, oh, we're doing great, we're this and that. And I know with all of my heart that they're lying dogs. You know that? I'm sorry,
but
I know with all my heart that's not the truth.
Right, well, I noticed you're still wearing a badge.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, is it Pastor Malay?
They call me Pastor Tom.
Pastor Tom. Pastor Kay is one of my favorite people in Lake Havasu City. She did our Good Friday show on Speak Out. I was thinking about getting her in for sometime around the holidays, even though December's cut 2 weeks short with our holiday break. It'd be great to have you join Pastor Kay here in the studio.
Okay. That would be fun.
For an upcoming show. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So when I think of the youth, of course, we have the Kids on the Colorado River Project that takes off here coming up next week. Tuesday and Wednesday, if you have a 7th grader that's going to the Thunderbolt Middle School, they are going to have an amazing experience down at Windsor, starting off that morning with 8 different segments of education, and then a fantastic boat ride out on the lake for many of them, their very first trip on the water. So it's going to be good.
Pastor Tom, talk about that youth outreach. How is that done with your church?
Well, as a matter of fact, Pastor Kay was involved in, for many years, was the president of the local church groups and stuff. And they put together a program where pastors would go up on campus, walk around, make themselves available to people if they had. And, of course, when you're a teen, you've got stuff going on. Your body's changing. You're, you know,
right,
and
sure.
A lot of things are happening at the same time. Today, boy, I have a heart for young people today too, what they're going through and the pressures they're under and stuff. So she got that up and running, and you know, hopefully that's made a difference.
Well, how do they respond to that? Are the parents also supportive of in here in Havasu anyway of those youth going into the church and that kind of study?
We've never received a complaint, and it actually turned out to be, which was really amazing, that the school asked us to come. So
that's wonderful. Yeah.
That is wonderful.
The school officials recognized they had problems that they were not equipped to handle.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So would you consider Havasu still a great community for families to come and raise their kids?
Absolutely. I do want to make one point clear. When you ask the Lord in your heart, it's not a religion. I misspoke. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a personal relationship, one-on-one.
Sure, absolutely. And being a God-fearing man all my life, I understand that completely. You know, there's coming to Havasu, I'm a firm believer, and I'm walking through the church every time I hit the ground, you know, and I see that lake, and I'm out there. It's an amazing experience to be part of this community and the surrounding area.
All right.
Anything?
No, that was, you were talking about Kids on the Colorado.
Yeah, so Kids on the Colorado River program, the mayor, as I understand it, is going to create a proclamation, for the Kids on the Colorado River Day, which is really an exciting, opportunity for this program, because again, this is a supportive, program that, revisits the education, about the Colorado River safety, all the aspects, historical, the laws, law enforcement, potentially saving lives. So we're bringing that back to the youth of Lake Havasu City, something that they'll have for the rest of their lives, as well as they become future leaders of our community. So we're very excited, and this program will go on every year, and it's a groundbreaker. It's never been done before.
Yeah, we had the vice principal in from Thunderbolt Middle School. And she was saying there's 450 kids signed up.
Yes, Kelly is instrumental in this program. She's been so helpful. We have a new principal there, and we have a new vice principal, which is Kelly. And, you know, they have stepped up to the plate in the middle of creating this program and have really been supportive of the entire operation and all the people that are involved putting this together.
That's fantastic. Do you have any volunteer boat drivers that have come through as part of this?
Well, fortunately, the Shimowevi Reservation has contributed the Dreamcatcher, which is one of their shuttle boats, which handles over 150 people. We have also the Blue Water Tours that's underneath the London Bridge. They have contributed their boat. So that's going to accommodate 225 children per day, multiple trips each day of the two-day program. So,
Is it still the Dreamcatcher? Is that one of the other boats? It's Tecopa, right?
So there's the first boat, which was the Dreamcatcher.
Right.
The second larger boat is the Tecopa.
Yeah, that's a huge boat.
Correct.
I took a ride over for a gig one time, and I was like, wow.
Right. It is a big monster.
It is a big boat.
The Dreamcatcher is their backup boat, if you will, so it just so happens it was available. And with a program of this magnitude, you want good professional pilots, licensed drivers, of course, insurance, and our whole program is fortunately supported through the Lake Havasu Unified School District. So this is a proper education, if you will.
Right. Are there any specific parts of the lake that you're going to hit? What are some of the partner agencies, too, that are helping you out?
So we're going to be taking the kids around the island, and in that time frame, we'll be discussing several points that they're going to see, including where McCulloch landed to first see the town. The reservation, they'll point those things out. Agencies that are involved, it's a list. So, you know, the first thing that comes to mind, I want to thank Anderson Power Sports Group for supporting us in this particular project. We have state parks. We have the police department. We have the fire department. We have ASU. It's going to be doing ecology education. Mm-hmm. We have the Lake Havasu City Museum of History. We've got organizations that are stepping in, like the Lighthouse Club. They're going to be providing some information underneath the tent. A list that goes on of all the agencies, the Marine Association, and Sea Scouts. Want to make sure we mention them. So everybody's involved. There's so many different facets of education that by the time it's all said and done, these will be the most educated individuals about the Colorado River. Quite frankly, in our country.
Yeah. Wow. Good stuff. You want to say goodbye to our guests?
Well, I do, but, you know, I got to tell you, we got to have Tom back at some point.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Tom, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking us back in time without handcuffs. I really do appreciate that and sharing some of the fun stories with us.
Well, you're quite welcome.
Can't call him Sergeant Tom Lay. It's Pastor Tom now. All right, very good. All right, here's another trivia question. What's the first 45 ever owned by Paul Lavoie?
Ooh.
Please, Mr. Postman.
Oh, man.
Well, I've come a long way, right?
Oh, man.
All right, we'll be back with more on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, those for Billy, Don't Be a Hero, Beckman. because he's going to be on the air again this Friday. St. Mary's Knights at the Havasu Fighting Knights. That's at 7 p.m. on Friday. The Fighting Knights looking to go to the 4A playoffs. That game will be on 980 a.m. KNTRSports.com only. Phoenix Suns will be over on the FM, 94.3 and 100.5. Also, tomorrow night, Philadelphia Eagles at Houston Texans. That's the game for Thursday Night Football, pregame starting at 4:30. Folks, we got an announcement, too. Number one versus number two, the Georgia Bulldogs hosting the Tennessee Volunteers. That's at 12 noon on Saturday. Going to be a great NCAA football matchup. And the Arizona State Sun Devils hosting UCLA. We've got tickets, four tickets. If you want to give me a call, I'll stick around a little bit after the show and answer the phone, 928-854-5687. Call me for those ASU tickets, or if you want tickets to the Suns game on Friday against Portland at 7 in Phoenix. All right, I'm out of here. Sean Hannity's up next after news and a short break.
Talk AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3. The voice of the free.